Good morning and welcome to our Thursday prayers. Today it is the 1st of April and it is also Maundy Thursday, so we're going to have a service tonight at 6:30. So you're very welcome to join us for that service. I hope you have had a good week, a holy week, and it has been good to see the change of weather. Suddenly we are seeing bright sunshine, temperatures going up, everybody going outside, lockdown is easing. So let us continue to thank God for keeping us safe and enabling us also to remember Him and to commit ourselves to His caring. Today we are going to be reflecting on the theme of the atonement of our sins, the atonement of our sins. And as we think of Good Friday and Easter morning, we also remember on Maundy Thursday when Jesus was arrested, but for the purpose of which was fulfilled on Good Friday and with the victory of Easter morning. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we adore your name and we thank you for all your glory which is revealed to us day by day. It is through your will that we are well and healthy today, and it is through your grace that you have allowed us to come before you. You have promised whenever we call upon your name, you will hear and answer us. So we come to you today, within our fellowship, from our homes and from wherever we may be. May you make your blessings abundant and your grace to us continue to flow. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful creation. We see earth and heaven sing your praise because of your wondrous works. But today also we think of your wondrous love for us, which was displayed on the cross. Without that, we have no power of ourselves. But Father, we humble ourselves today, empty-handed, yet calling for your mercy. And so hear us, we humbly pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn is, Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us.
To us, you are one with us, man.
Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Let us worship the Lord. All praise to his name. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our psalm for today is Psalm 43, Israel's only Saviour. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give me up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they are right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, but I am God, yes, and from ancient days I am He. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? God's mercy and Israel's unfaithfulness. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out, like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honor me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands of incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins, and wearied me with your offenses. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together, state the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned. Those I sent to teach you rebelled against me. So I disgraced the dignitaries of your temple. I consigned Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And our next hymn is Meekness and Majesty.
Testament reading is taken from Leviticus chapter 16, verses 2 till 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering, but the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant law, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger 7 times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on all the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in the sanctuary area and put on his regular garments. Then he shall come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people to make atonement for himself and for the people. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is God Forgave My Sins. In the Old Testament reading, we read about the Day of Atonement, and now the Gospel reading is telling us that Jesus actually came to fulfill that sacrifice of the atonement. And it's coming from Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 25. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah and king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because of a long time he had been waiting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign or some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. This ends our reading. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned, our reflection today is about the atonement of our sins. And it's going to be divided into 3 points. First of all, to explain the Day of the Atonement. And secondly, to say that Jesus was the high priest and the sacrifice, therefore fulfilling the whole purpose of the atonement and the requirements of the atonement. And thirdly, the vindication of God's people. And so let us pray. Holy God, we thank you again for your word, which instructs us and guides us to know the truth about who you are and how you would like us to be. We pray that your grace may increase in us as we seek to serve you, but also to fulfill what we need in order to become your children. And so guide us that we may keep our hearts open for your forgiveness and receive the grace of your blessings. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So the Day of the Atonement is the beginning. We say that the atonement of our sins begin with the Day of the Atonement, which is what the book of Leviticus is talking about, the reading which we had from the Old Testament, Leviticus 16. The book of Leviticus is a book of instructions to Moses on how he and the people of Israel were to approach God and to pray for the forgiveness of all their sins. The thing which divided God and the people was sin. This was called the Day of Atonement, when the sins of the people were cleansed. The Day of the Atonement was happening once a year. In the Jewish tradition, this is the day which is called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the Day of the Atonement. And the priest had to enter into that place called the Holy of Holies, which is the most holiest place in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting. The holiest place, which was separated by the rest of the tent by a curtain. And if you can remember the day Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn in the temple, as it says in the gospel. And so that curtain is what divides the rest of the temple and the Holy of Holies. So at this point, they did not have a temple, and they met in that tent, the tabernacle. And so the priest was to offer a sacrifice in that Holy of Holies, the place where he could only enter once a year. He was to offer a bull and a ram for the atonement and removal of his own sins, and two goats for the sins of the community. So you can see that he needed his own sins to be atoned for, but also the sins of the community to be atoned for, as we see in Leviticus 16, verses 3 and verses 5 to 10. In verse 3, he says, "This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering." So those are for Aaron's own sins. And then verses 5 to 10, he says, "From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls on the Lord to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for the making of the atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat." And so this day when the high priest would enter was this Day of the Atonement, when the sacrifices were offered for the removal of the sins of the priest, all the people, including the whole place. So some of the guilt which was supposed to be cleansed was including the guilt of the tent itself, the altars itself, and even the surrounding areas. They were all considered as being polluted by sin, and therefore needed that sacrifice of atonement. The whole procedure is outlined, as we can see, in verses 11 to the end of the chapter. If you read that, you will see how the procedure went. But in verses 32 to 34, it concludes that the priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as a high priest is to make atonement. So the atonement can't be made by anybody. It had to be either the high priest or somebody succeeding from him from the household of the priest. He is to put on a sacred linen garment and make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the members of the community. And he says, finally, "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites." And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses. So that was the way the Day of Atonement was being marked. And it was to make sure that the people are holy. And as we will see in the psalm, God is being identified as the Holy One of Israel. So as he is holy, so should the people be holy. And the sprinkling of blood, which was accompanying the whole sacrifice, was to represent life. That blood was representing life. And so that was the real procedure and the purpose of the Day of Atonement, that God is holy and the people have to approach him in holiness. And now in the reading from the New Testament, Luke chapter 23, verse 1 to 25, I say that Jesus as the high priest and as the atoning sacrifice. Because on the Day of Atonement, two things were important. There has to be a high priest and there has to be a sacrifice. And so this chapter, chapter 23 of Luke, it shows that Jesus came to change what we read from Leviticus, the need of every year marking the Day of Atonement by providing all those sacrifices. That was an old practice, and Jesus now came in. And the death and resurrection of Jesus was, in a sense, what we call in theology the sensus plenio, the sensus plenio, which means that it was the fuller sense, or it gave the fuller meaning of the Old Testament practice of the Day of the Atonement. Jesus came as that priest, such as Aaron was a priest, but as we reflected last week, Jesus came as the priest in the order of Melchizedek, who was priest king of Salem, who came to bless Abraham. So Jesus came as the high priest, but also Jesus came as the sacrifice, because we know he died on the cross, so that he fulfills all the requirements of the Day of the Atonement. That's why I say he was the sensus plenio. He was the full-blown meaning of what it means to present the sacrifice by a high priest who is qualified for giving that sacrifice before God, which will be accepted. Now, Jesus was sinless. He did not have sin, yet he offered himself as a sacrifice. So he did not need to offer sacrifice for his own sin, but he offered sacrifice for the sins of the world. He made that atonement as both him being a sin offering, which was provided for removal of the sins of the people, and the guilt offering, and also as a scapegoat, which was taking the guilt of the whole community away. So he was like the scapegoat, which we're told the priest was to lay hands on it and release it in the wilderness. So Jesus, in the sense of being a scapegoat, carried all the guilt and sins of the world and was condemned on the cross and died on the cross. And so this is Jesus fulfilling what was required of the Day of the Atonement. As it says, for the third time, if we read verses 22 to 25 of Luke 23, it says, for the third time he spoke to them. Why? This is Pilate asking the Jewish leaders, what crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for a death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. So Jesus was being condemned there as the sacrifice and the scapegoat. And here you can see the switch from the person who is guilty of murder and insurrection being released and the person who was innocent being condemned. But Jesus, in his sacrifice, he had done this once and for all, not to be repeated ever, and abolished the whole system of the old covenant of the Day of the Atonement. So when we remember Good Friday, we remember that Jesus has done it all. Jesus has completed the transaction of shifting our guilt to him, and we are counted as righteous before God. And finally, from Psalm 43, the vindication of God's people. Through that atonement, we are vindicated, enabling us to stand before God as forgiven and accepted. God formed them as a nation, the people of Israel. He says he reared them as you rear children and defended them when they went to battle. But all he received from them was rejection. Instead of bringing him gifts of sacrifice, they brought their sins to him. God is, in this psalm, is called repeatedly that he is the Holy One of Israel, as we see in verse 3 and verse 14. He is the Holy One of Israel. And God is also supreme over all the powers of the nations. And if only Israel could trust in him and keep to his word, God was always willing to listen and help those who call upon his name. He says, "You have not brought me sheep or burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers you, your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case of your innocence." So God is always there. And through what Jesus has done, all we need to do is to turn to God and say, "God, please may you forgive us." And he is always ready to receive us. And so as we remember Good Friday and Easter, let us remember we are forgiven. We are accepted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, fill us with your love in the morning, that our days may be spent in joy and in praise. Let us offer to God this day the work we do, the people we meet, the pleasures and the pain, that in everything we may know the love of Christ and be thankful. In the world today, when we hear of violence and wars and divisions and strife, let us pray. Eternal God, in whose perfect kingdom no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, and no strength known but the strength of love, so guide and inspire, we pray, the labors of all those who establish righteousness and peace among the nations, that all peoples may find their security, not in force of arms, but in the perfect love that casts out fear, and in the fellowship revealed to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for the people of Syria, the people of Yemen, the people of Myanmar. We pray for your peace, for your love and reconciliation. We pray for the people of Libya and all other areas where children and women are suffering and the national infrastructure is in shatters. We thank you for our own peace and harmony, which we take for granted. Help us to be grateful for all that you have done. And we pray for those who are in leadership. Continue to guide them with wisdom and insight. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Eternal God, wonderful in counsel, excellent in wisdom, we pray for the representatives of the nations who have been called to the difficult task of laying firm foundations for peace. Inspire their minds, enlarge their vision, direct their counsels, that wisely and fearlessly they may stand for righteousness and truth and set forward your purposes for the welfare of mankind. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. O God, who has graciously preserved our nation through the years and has led us in wondrous ways, grant that we may be worthy of our high calling, Purge out from among us the sins that dishonor you. Give us true religion. Crown our faith with righteousness. And lift us up, a holy people, to your praise and honor. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Almighty God, by whom alone kings reign and princes decree justice, and from whom alone comes counsel and understanding, we humbly pray to you to grant your heavenly wisdom to those who have been called to serve our government, especially in the parliament of this nation. Grant that having fear of you, they may always come before you and put aside their private interests and partial affections, and take counsel together for the glory of your name and for the maintenance of your people. Pray especially at this time as we come out of lockdown and as we think of the future. Help us, Lord, to imagine a future without coronavirus, that it will completely be eradicated and that people will continue to lead a normal life again. Help us to be aware and careful. Thank you that our churches are open again for public worship. And may you continue to guide us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the vaccination rollout which is going on. And we pray that it will serve the purpose to which it was started. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord of all power and might, we praise you for your good gifts of health and strength, for the sight of our eyes, the hearing of our ears, the strength of our limbs, and the powers of our minds, and the energy which forges them into the fit instrument for your service. We praise you, O God of our health, and we continue to pray that the future you will continue to guide us and to protect us. Merciful God, who has taught us to love you with all our strength and to glorify you with our bodies, we commend to you for your continual blessings our hospitals around the country and those who serve in our hospitals. Prosper all that is being done for the healing of the sick and the conquest of all diseases, and for the training of doctors and nurses, that your will may be done in the relief of suffering and making lives whole. And today we especially pray for those who are sick among us. In the time of silence, let us mention them. We continue to pray for Molly, for Helen, for Yvonne, for Brian, and for Betsy and Joyce. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the diocesan prayer calendar, today we pray for the Broadside, Ranworth with Panksworth, South Walsham, Upton and Fishley, Woodbastwick, and clergy Kevin Bilson and Darlene Platten. We pray for the church wardens and PCC during the vacancy. Thank you, Lord, for all that is going on. May you continue to bless and protect them in all the challenges they face, especially at this time as things begin to open up. We pray for licensed lay minister Margaret Mallett. We pray also for Fairhaven Church of England VA Primary School in South Walsham. Bless them, Lord, and guide them in all the challenges they face each day. Pray for those who are to be recipients of the Royal Mondi, and that we all may have the will to be the servant of others, as Christ was the servant of all. We pray also for the Diocese of Bath and Wells in the Church of England. We continue to pray for the bishop there, the clergy, and all their congregations. Guide them and protect them during this time. And thank you, Lord, that you have been the one who died for our sins, and we stand before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And for our team, we pray for the services today, Maundy, Thursday. This evening, there'll be a Taser-style service with communion at Stratton St. Mary, remembering the Last Supper, and a reflective service at Tibbenham, and Compline always at 9 on Zoom. And we pray for Heather and John leading these services. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Keep us, O Lord, in the joy, the simplicity, and the compassionate love of the gospel. Bless us this day and those whom you have given to our care, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen. And our final hymn, as we think of the Day of Atonement, how Jesus died for our sins, therefore fulfilling all the requirements, let us sing Isaac Watts' hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you very much for taking part in this service, and I do wish you a blessed Monday, Thursday evening. And as I mentioned earlier, there's going to be a service tonight at Tibbenham at 6:30. And this weekend, there's going to be a Good Friday service in Carlton Road at 3 o'clock in Carlton Road. And then as Lacton on Easter Eve at 7 o'clock. And then on Easter morning, there's going to be a service for Holy Communion at Carlton Road at 9:30. And also at 11 o'clock, Great Moulton. Thank you very much, everyone. And may God bless you. As our Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father sent me, even so I send you. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.